Call the House Finance Committee to order. Today with us, we have Representative Knopp, Representative LeBron, Representative Tilton, Representative Carpenter, Representative Vice Chair Johnston, Co-Chair Foster, Representative Merrick, Representative Josephson, Representative Ortiz, I'm Co-Chair Wilson. Today before us, we only have one piece of legislation, which is Senate Bill 19. Representative Johnston.
Yes, Madam Chair. I move House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Substitute for Senate Bill Number 1931-GS1904/N as committee's working document.
And I'll object for the purposes of discussion.
Thank you. So we're going to have Mr. Henderson please come up and go through the changes. Please put yourself on the record. You may begin. And we've been joined by Representative Tuck. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Ramon Henderson, staff to Representative Tammy Wilson. And what I'd like to do today is to go through the major changes that have been made to the bill since the bill was presented and had public testimony. So beginning on page 2, beginning with line 19, there's a $4 million appropriation for the Interior Gas Project to help the Fairbanks area to come into air quality compliance with EPA. This appropriation is conditional upon the commercialization of the gas utility after January 2020, but before January 2021, and it's funded through ADA receipts. On page 2, beginning with line 27, we've added $10 million for statewide addiction treatment for facility capital matching grants. It is the intent of the legislature that the Department of Community Economic Development administer capital matching grants to Alaska organizations committed to building new addiction treatment facilities throughout the state. These grants will match dollar for dollar local and private contributions to increase the number of available addiction treatment slots in the 9 regions identified by Department of Health and Social Services 111 and 5 waiver application. On page 4, beginning with line 30, this is funding to the Department of Corrections for laundry services, and this fund is contingent upon contracts with the Department of Corrections and individual and private organizations for these laundry services. On page 6, beginning with line 30, the deferred maintenance, statewide deferred maintenance and renovation repair was reduced by $16 million. And we are requiring OMB to submit a statewide prioritized list of deferred maintenance projects no later than December 31st, 2019. The funding for the South Nelly Visitors Center was removed, the $2.5 million. And then on page 11, beginning with line 28, the University of Alaska deferred maintenance was reduced by $2.5 million, and that funding was appropriated to the U.S. Array Earthquake Monitoring Network for the sensor devices.
And just so everyone knows, that still leaves $7.5 million for the University of Alaska Deferred Maintenance Program.
And beginning on page 17, beginning with line 18, this is intent language that was added to better analyze the dangers of PFAS and to come up with a plan.
And so for the public, the PFAS is the foam that was used in firefighting. It's throughout the entire state. We know there's been some uproar about the change of the number of what's the dangerous amount. So what we're asking is that DEC do more analysis on the harm that it could happen to the drinking water throughout our state. And I have talked to the Department of Environment and Conservation, and they are able to fulfill this intent language.
Continuing then on page 28, beginning on line one. This contains funding for the reopening of the Palmer Correctional Center and housing prisoners in or out of state. It also adds specific reporting requirements. And then on page 30, beginning on line eight, no, that's not correct.
So let's take a brief at ease. And so on page 31, line 8, it's a vaccine assessment program receipts collected under AS-1809-220, estimated to be $12,500,000, are appropriate to the vaccine assessment fund. This was legislation that we passed earlier this year. My apologies for the wrong page number. You may continue, Mr. Henderson.
Okay. That's page 38. Let's make sure this is correct. Yes, on page 38, beginning on line 21, this is the reverse sweep language pertaining to the CBR and appropriates interest, and section B appropriates interest earned on the general fund investments that, to go to the CBR. And part C clarifies that the, which is on the next page, page 39, it clarifies that the reverse sweep is subject to a three-quarter vote.
So for the listening public, because when we talk about reverse sweep, there's over 100, probably closer to 200 different savings accounts for different purposes. They are not dedicated, they're designated funds. And some of them are for power cost equalization to help those who are in very high energy places, or community revenue sharing is part of that. We have the higher education fund that helps our students be able to get scholarships if they take 4 years of English, math, history. And right now, without this language in there, all those goes into the Constitution Budget Reserve, and those would not be available for those types of programs. But it does take, not in this committee, but on the floor, it would take a three-quarter vote to happen. So that just makes sure that within the document, everybody understands that it's not just a simple majority. Let me continue, Mr. Henderson.
Thank you. On page 39, section 29 contains contingencies language, and the section A we discusses the three-quarter vote majority contingency for the appropriations made through sections 1 through 6 of the act. Section B is the contingency language for the Department of Corrections on the reopening of Palmer or out-of-state contracts, provides funding of $6 million when the inmate population exceeds 5,130 on or before December 31st, 2019. The next section adds additional $10.7 million when the inmate population exceeds 5,500 or more before March 31st. I just want to clarify that this is not supplemental. This is contingency language, and these funds are available immediately upon reaching those target levels. And in summary, the bill requires approximately $1.4 billion in funding, $1,026 million in federal receipts, $162.5 million in CBR funding, $51.7 million in GGF, and approximately $93.2 million other state funds. Happy to entertain any questions at this point.
Thank you very much. So is the objection maintained to bring this document before us? It's a working document.
I will remove my objection.
Okay, so hearing no other objection, we have the bill now in front of us for discussion. So any questions or discussion on SB 19? Representative Josephson.
Question for the chair. Page 4, lines 24 to 31. My understanding is that these monies were, I guess, for the benefit of the Marine Highway System. Could they still could they still apply for these monies for purposes of their laundry needs?
Yes, Representative Josephson, the reason we put this contingent language in there is because at this point we do not know what's going to happen with the Marine Highway. We're hoping that it stays nice and healthy, but without knowing that, we didn't want to invest another $420,000 unless they had a contract with a vendor moving forward.
Okay.
Representative Tilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Henderson, can you, at the very end, you talked about the summary of the funds, and I missed the beginning on the federal funds. Could you go through that summary again of what the funding was, and then I have a second
question. The funding sources?
Yeah. And then I have a second question.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Mr. Henderson.
Yes, through the chair. Representative Tilton, $1,026,000,000 in federal receipts, $162.5 million in CBR funding, $51.7 million DGF, and $93.2 million in other state funds.
Follow-up, Representative Tilton.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I have a second question that's not a follow-up. On page 2, lines 27, with your intent language with the statewide addiction treatment, it looks here that this would go out as a grant through DCCED that comply with the waiver for the 1115 waiver. We've received several communications regarding actually thanking us for putting things in that we didn't know was in there, for one, which was very interesting. But the community that Representative Sullivan Leonard and myself are from, there were some they'd asked about some how this was going to work out, and that these would be funds that people could apply for statewide. There's some specific projects that the Matsu Health Foundation had brought before us that would just equal a smaller amount of these funds, and just wanting to make sure that these funds would be available on a statewide basis.
Thank you so much, Representative Tilton, for that question. It would be my intent that absolutely is statewide. The big part of it is this is for more treatment beds. This is not for operating costs, but it's to get more treatment beds within the state. And it's not contingent on the 1115 waiver. It's just there are 9 regions identified by the waiver, kind of so that it gives us a better indication of spreading that money out. So because we know that there pretty much is not a part of the state that's not affected by not having enough treatment beds from within that, whether we're talking about corrections, whether we're just talking about individuals who, you know, aren't part of that system. We heard from public testimony that if they were able to get some of this capital matching funds, and it is a dollar for a dollar going with that, that they would be able to charge enough on operating to continue the program going. So, yes, it would be the intent that would be throughout the entire state.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Knopp, and then Representative Sullivan Leonard. Representative Knopp.
I want to follow up, Madam Chair. On page 4, line 24, Representative Josephson's question. So I'm wondering, did we reach out to corrections and talk about that? Because it was my understanding they were already into contracts with the cruise line industry and doing work for them. And so when I saw this, my intent was to make it receipt authority. And so I'm wondering, is that happening? Do we know, or is it proposed to happen?
Well, Representative Knopp, we did reach out to them. We couldn't get a straight answer, not a surprise. So we just put the intent language. If they have those contracts, then they have met the intent language, and the $420,000 is available to upgrade the facility.
And my point was, if they're into them contracts, they should have receipt authority, enough receipts to do that without UGF dollars to do so.
It is my understanding, Representative Knopp, that they have receipt authority now, but they do have a contract, like I said, with the Marine Highway. but I think they may need to upgrade first. I don't think they have $420,000 sitting there for the upgrade.
So we never got an answer from DOC is what you're telling me.
Yes, Representative Knopf, that is correct. Representative Sullivan-Leonard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to segue back to Representative Tilton's comments with regard to the particular grants that may come through DCCED, will there be a provision in there that the particular projects that may be reviewed or considered would have, I guess, shovel-ready type projects, or the indication that the particular project would have so much that they have invested that maybe what the state is bringing forward is enough to just finish that particular project?
So, I'm
looking for shovel-ready projects is what I'm trying to get at.
Representative Sullivan-Leonard, that's what I would prefer, because we need these beds now, not 3 or 4 years from now. They'll have to set up the program, and we're trying not to get into the weeds, but leave it open so that every area would have that opportunity. Yes, if they were just a little bit short and had already started it, I cannot see, because I know we heard from the Prince William Sound, they're putting pilings in now, and that would not make it so that they would not be eligible just because they already started the program, the project, but it has to go to the capital part of the project.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On page 6, you said that the CS has a $16 million reduction. I listened to the other body's hearings, and I know there was a change. There was a recommended change where DOT was going to coordinate with the Office of the Governor and Deferred Maintenance. Can you remind us what the CS does here and what the change is?
Representative Josephson, it reduces the amount that we are giving to the administration. We had them in front of us on deferred maintenance. Mm-hmm. They didn't even know who owned this building, which was very concerning. Mm-hmm. We've been asking for a priority list for a long time, but yet we've been giving a lot of money. Right now, when money is short, we should be making sure that we're putting into the needs that rise to the top, but it's not just about the deferred maintenance. They also need to be going through each building and finding out whether or not we even need that much space and condensing down, which they have been doing. We do have a new commissioner of administration. We also have a new commissioner of DOT. But until that's why we added the intent language so that we would get a report back. So next year, we're not guessing where the money's going. And right now, we have never gotten a list saying this is where last year's money went. And I think we need more accountability in this legislature.
And
follow up?
This is a separate appropriation for which the Office of the Governor could not use funds in ways other than for deferred maintenance. Is that correct?
That would be my intent, that this is under deferred maintenance and he should not be using it for operating either. But I think it's great to put it on the record. Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, Representative Johnston.
Madam Chair, I move House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Substitute for Senate Bill number 1931-GS1904/N from committee.
Madam Chair.
Is that an objection I hear?
It is.
Representative Josephson.
Just, I intend to withdraw the objection, but I just wanted to note, I'm very pleased with the CS. One concern relative to the PFAS appropriation. I did a deep dive on Title 46 and Title 29 relative to the response fund. Prince William Sound Regional Citizens Advisory Council, which is created through the Oil Spill Prevention Act of 1990, they have an appreciation and a concern for PFAS too. That's in their nature. But they don't like the fact that we are draining response funds for other than sudden releases. That's what this fund was for. And in looking at Title 29, which is the Department of Commerce's code, there's a way, I only note that because at 29-6500, it speaks to an oil and hazardous substance municipal impact assistance grants, and those are for sudden releases, and it says incidences where the release was sudden. And there are other sections that say that, for example, 4608030, it is the intent concerning the abatement of oil or hazardous substance releases, it's the intent of the legislature to be the declared policy of the state that funds for the abatement of a release or of oil or hazardous substance will always be available. So I only note this, there was concern last year in remediation of the Wrangell junkyard dump about how that was being funded. I know that we need the dollars from somewhere. There's no doubt that PFAS is a kind of spill, although it was deliberate. It was intended to be a spill at the time it spilled. That was the point of it. But I'm just concerned about that account. And I think that it's something we need to look at in 2020. Thank you. And
we'll absolutely put that on our agenda to be able to do that.
And I'll keep my objection so others can.
Representative Sullivan Leonard.
Madam Chairman, are we allowed amendments in the committee today? You're moving the bill and we haven't had a chance for amendments.
Do you have an amendment on you, Representative Sullivan Leonard?
Not up my sleeve, but I got one coming.
Okay. Well, it's in a time to be able to move that. Any other comments? Okay, we're going to take a short at ease.
Yep.
Any more discussion? Is an objection maintained?
It is not.
I am maintaining an objection.
Objection, Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think we've been in committee for, 10 minutes so far. It feels like anyway, and that's 10 minutes for me to review this bill. I object to a whole number of things so far. I don't like taking a bunch of money out of the CBR. I don't like writing blank checks for addiction treatment without some plan. So there needs to be some more information gathered to make a good decision here and probably amend, which we're not going to have time to do today. So I cannot support this bill.
Thank you, Representative Carpenter. There is an objection. Please call the roll.
Representative Ortiz.
Yes.
Representative Sullivan Leonard.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
No.
Representative Carpenter.
No.
Representative Josephson.
Yes.
Representative Johnston.
Yes.
Representative Knopf.
Yes.
Representative Laban.
Yes.
Representative Merrick.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Representative Wilson.
Yes.
I apologize. I need to change my vote, please, to a no.
Eight yeas, three nays.
At ease. And with eight yeas and three nays, CS for Senate Bill 19 has passed the Finance Committee. Please stay with us to be able to sign the paperwork. Is there anything else to come before the committee? Hearing none, I'm going to adjourn this meeting.